Hello, everyone. I'm Dale. I'm one of the kids' pastors here. And how good is it having the kids and the youth in together with the adults today? Oh, it doesn't sound very good. It's awesome, right? And I don't know what's going on with me, but at 8:30, I heard Yanni. And at 10:30, I heard Laurel. I've aged significantly in the last hour and a half. That's bad, isn't it? Maybe I'm just a wacko. Did you change the sound halfway through? Man, it's weird, isn't it? I'm tripping out over that. Kids, you've got your little kids pack with your little book. We're going to get into that soon, all right? I'm going to tell you exactly when to get to page one. I'm going to draw some stuff in there. But today, we're talking about growing up. Now, I don't know what you wanted to be when you grew up. Actually, kids, can you tell me something? What do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? What was that? Policeman, yes. A vet, good one. A football player, nice. Someone over this side? A builder. How good is that? Lots of different things, hands down for now. All right, lots of different things you want to be when you grow up. When I was young, I wanted to be a whole lot of different things when I grew up. I wanted to be a professional sportsman. I wanted to be in the circus. Yeah? I even wanted to be a lawyer at one stage. How's that? Lots of different things. Now, you're laughing down here. You got a lawyer's husband. lots of different things. I didn't end up being any of those things. But I'll tell you something that did happen. I grew up. Now, some of you might be like, oh, you sure, Dale? I actually grew up. I'm no longer a boy. Now I'm a man. I've got a beard. I've got this deep voice, right? All these different things. I actually grew up. And that's what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to grow up, right? But today we're not just talking about growing up physically. There's a way more important way that we're meant to grow up, and that's growing up in our relationship with Jesus. Paul actually thought that was so important that he wrote a letter to a church in Corinth who weren't growing up. And that ended up being in the Bible, which means, you know, that's God's word. That's God saying it. So God thinks it's important that we grow up in our relationship with Jesus. And so we need to really listen to what's going on. Now, for the kids or anyone else who hasn't been here the last couple of weeks, Paul, he's written to this church in Corinth. They're called the Corinthians. And they've got some major problems. They've got a whole bunch of different problems. Pretty much, they think they're amazing. They think they're smart, wise. They think they're strong. They think they're super spiritual. And they've actually forgotten how important Jesus dying on the cross is. And the big thing that Paul says today is they've actually got a growing problem. They're not growing up the way that they should be. So we're going to hear what God has to say to them. And we're going to see two things. We're going to see that he says, you need to grow up. Tells them you've got to grow up. And he's also going to tell us how to grow up. That's what we're going to see. We need to grow up. And we're going to hear how to grow up. So that's what we're going to see. I'm going to pray that we'll be able to see that today. Why don't we all pray together? Father God, thank you that you just spoke to us as we read the Bible. Thank you that you will keep speaking to us as we keep looking at the Bible. And I pray that you would help us to grow up in our relationship with Jesus. Amen. Okay, so let's look at the first thing. Paul says that we need to grow up. And can I get everyone to look down at your Bibles, chapter 3. Now, kids, you might need to look on with mum or dad. Chapter 3, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Okay, what does Paul call them? Who can tell me? What does he call them? Infants. He calls them babies. Babies in Christ. So kids, I want you to crack out that book and I want you to draw on page one a picture of a baby. Now keep listening while you draw, but draw a picture of a baby. Paul calls them infants in Christ. Now, that's a bit of an insult, isn't it? No one likes being called a baby. Kids, do you like being called babies? No, of course not. Teenagers, do you guys like being called little kids anymore? No, exactly. Adults, do you guys like being called juvenile? What 25-year-old likes still getting asked to show ID? Like, no, I'm an adult. Some of you would be like, oh, that's a compliment that you're still asking me Friday. But no one even likes just being one step back. And Paul waltzes in here and says, you're babies. He's not mucking around. Look at verse 2. He goes on. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. You are still worldly. Just in case they didn't get it, he brings in this image to make it really obvious. You can't even eat solid food. You're not ready. You weren't ready last time I saw you, and you're still not ready now. They've been following Jesus for a few years, and they're still babies. Paul's telling them that they've got a growing problem. He says, you need to grow up. Kids, can I see that picture of baby? I didn't give you very long. Nice. Well, I want you to turn to page 2, and I want you to draw a picture of a baby growing up. How do you do that? I want you to draw a picture of a baby, then a picture of a little kid, then a picture of a big kid, then a picture of an adult. Kind of like this. Check this out. That. Hey, just need to say the right word. There you go. This is my effort. How good is that, all right? I missed my calling in life. Maybe not. Something like that. I want to draw a picture of someone growing up. Now, Paul, he tells the Corinthians that they need to grow up. Now, that'd be pretty hard for the Corinthians to hear because, like I said before, they thought they're pretty grown up already. They think they're mature. They think they're all that. They think they're wise, strong. They thought they were incredibly spiritual. They had tickets on themselves. And for someone like that to hear that you're just babies, it's like a 17-year-old being told that they're still just a kid. Like, no, I'm grown up. They hate it. The Corinthians would hear that and be like, oh, they'd get riled up. But what does Paul actually mean when he calls them infants? What is he getting at? Well, we can work it out as we look at some of the other words that he uses to describe them in this passage, and it'll give us a sense of what's going on. He uses positive and negative, like he says, you are this, you're not this. So let's have a look at some of the things. Verse 1, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit. Okay, so in some sense, they're unspiritual. Paul feels like he can't even talk to them as people who live by the Spirit. And if they're not spiritual, well, what are they? Well, he goes on, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly. So they're not spiritual in some sense, but they're worldly. Now, this should actually sound a bit odd to us, because in chapter 2, just a few verses earlier, he was saying, you've got the Spirit, right? Christians have the Spirit. You're spiritual people. You're not worldly anymore. He's saying, you've actually got the Spirit who is from God, not the Spirit who's from the world. God has given them His Spirit. Why is He now calling them worldly? Why is He saying that they're unspiritual? Or the other thing that He says at the end of verse 3, he says, are you not acting like mere humans? The end of verse 4, are you not mere human beings? Sounds like he's saying, you don't have the Spirit anymore. Is that what's going on? Have they lost the Spirit in just a couple of verses? Well, no, they haven't lost the Spirit. But let me try to help you understand this. And actually, I'll do it visually. Just go for a little run over here. Going to use this fella, all right? The cross, all right? Now, it all revolves around this guy. Because see, what's going on is there are two different kinds of people in life. There are Christians who are on this side of the cross, and there are people who aren't Christians, aren't trusting in Jesus, who are on this side. And what's going on is for people over here that don't trust in Jesus, they don't believe in what he did when he died on the cross. And kids, make sure you're listening to this because the next picture you've got to draw is going to be about this. So make sure you're zoning in. And what Paul says is anyone over this side, they look at the cross and they think, that is ridiculous. They hear about this Jesus who claims to be God and then he dies in the most humiliating way ever, on a cross. And they just think, that is weak. That is foolish. That is stupid. Anyone who believes in that must be crazy. And they look at this and they can't understand it for what it is. They can't understand Jesus for who he is. And they can't do that because they're sinful. In their brokenness as sinful humans, they can't even see things right. They're blinded by their sin. In fact, they're dead spiritually. And because they're dead spiritually, they can't understand the spiritual things that are going on. And so Paul in 1 Corinthians, the kinds of things that he describes, he says, they're not people of God. They're people of the world. They're worldly. They're these natural people, unspiritual people, because they can't see what's going on. But sometimes God's Spirit comes to someone and brings them to life. He opens their eyes so that they can see what's going on with the cross. They can see that Jesus is dying for them. Their sin means that their King, their Lord, their God had to die for them. They see that Jesus is doing the only thing that he could to bring them back to God. That he's shedding his blood so their sins could be washed away. That he's being humiliated in front of the whole wide world so that they could be saved. The Spirit helps them to see that and they go, I get it. I get what's going on. And so then, because the Spirit is doing this work in them, they trust in Jesus. They trust in his death on the cross. Boom. They cross over. They come to this side, right? And as they come over to this side, they're saved. They're forgiven. They get given God's Spirit. So that then what happens is with his Spirit inside of them, they can actually start growing up. And we can imagine Jesus all the way over there. And what happens is with his Spirit in them, they start growing up and becoming more and more like Jesus. They start thinking right. We heard this last week. They're given the mind of Christ. They start speaking the way that Jesus would speak. They start acting the way that Jesus would act. And they actually start growing up and coming over this way. Now, can I just say quickly, if you haven't yet crossed over, don't worry about growing up. That's not what you need to worry about. You need to worry about getting right with God first. Jesus died for your forgiveness. It's such a wonderful offer. Look at the cross and see what he's doing and trust in him. Don't worry about growing until you've done that. But for people who do trust in Jesus, we're now spiritual. We now grow up in Jesus. But what Paul is saying is the Corinthians, they're stuck down this end. They're right here. They're little babies. It's like when you cross over, you become a baby. And then as you kind of cruise across and you become more like Jesus, you grow up, right? But they're stuck over here. They're little babies. And he's saying, what you're doing is you're not thinking about acting like Jesus. You're not thinking like Jesus. You're not speaking like Jesus. You're looking over this side and looking at them going, oh, yeah, look at the things that they think are impressive. Yeah, I'm going to be like that. They're thinking like worldly people would think. He's going, you're having, what is it, verse 3? He says, you're still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? For when one of you says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? They're arguing about who the best pastors are. They're jealous and quarreling. They're trying to be the best in the church. That's what worldly people would do if they were in the church. And so Paul's saying, you're being worldly. Yes, you're this side. You've got the Spirit, but you're not acting like it. You're acting like you're on that side. You guys are just little babies. That's what he's saying to the Corinthians. You're just little babies. And so, kids, I want you to turn to page, what is it? What are you up to, three? Three. I want you to turn to page 3, and I want you to draw this picture. I want you to do big cross in the middle, and I want you to draw write the word worldly on one side and the word spiritual on the other. If you don't know how to spell it, it's up on the screen. But in these verses, Paul's saying the Corinthians are acting more worldly and they're not growing up to be like Jesus. That's a problem. You need to grow up, says Paul. You're still just babies in Christ. It's time to grow up. They've got it completely upside down. They're looking the wrong way. They think they've grown up, but they're just little babies. Now I want you to think about yourself for a moment. How grown up are you? And I'm not talking about age, I'm talking about growing up in Jesus. We all still need to grow, those of us who are Christians, that is. None of us are so much like Jesus that we don't need to keep growing anymore. But some of us are more worldly than others. Some of us are more like babies. Now, it is worth saying that if you've become a Christian in the last year or so, which is a whole bunch of you, which is awesome, it's okay that you're a baby Christian, because that's what you are. You've just become a Christian. You need to grow, but it's okay if you're still a baby Christian. But for some of you, you've been around for years, but you're still babyish when it comes to your relationship with Jesus. You might be a kid or a teenager who's grown up in church, who's actually been around for a while. And when you're at EV Kids or youth, you act like a Corinthian, like a baby, by thinking that you know everything already. I don't really need to listen. I've heard this before. That's baby thinking. We always need to keep hearing the gospel. You need to grow up. Or maybe you try to impress other people at EV Kids or youth. In worldly kind of ways, you're like, oh, check out how sporty I am. Or look how smart I am. Look how good looking I am. Look how popular I am. All these different things, they're worldly things. That's acting like a baby. You've got to grow up and start acting more like Jesus. Care about the things that he cares about. The Bible, the kingdom, Jesus. Or maybe you're an adult who's been around for years or even generations. Have you forgotten that you need to grow? Do you ever find yourself sitting at church or growth group and thinking, oh man, I hope that person hears this because they need to grow. Woo! Oh no, they weren't here today. But not actually thinking about it for yourself. Or do you ever find yourself sitting there analysing sermons rather than soaking them in? Now, we do need to think carefully about what we hear. But have you shut yourself off from being affected by the truth? Does the word still shape your heart? Or have you stopped coming to church with the active intention of growing? We all need to keep growing. And I'll talk more in a sec about how it is that we grow. But here's a question for everyone to think about for yourself right now. Kids, adults, everyone, do you know that you need to keep growing? Do you feel like you really want to grow? Do you feel, I'm more like a baby than I wish I was? That's actually a good thing. You need to do something about it and grow, but that's a good thing. Because if you think, I'm pretty mature, I'm pretty grown up, then you're probably more of a baby than you realised. We all need to keep growing up in Jesus. And that's the first thing we need to know. We need to know that we need to grow. Could turn that into a little jingle, couldn't I? I won't, but I could. Do you want me to? No, I won't. We need to know that we need to grow. That's the first thing he says. And so then brings us to the second thing. How do you grow? We get that it's important. How do you grow up in Jesus? Because if growing up in him is so important, we need to know how to do it. Here's a question for the kids. How do you grow up normally, physically? How do you grow? What do you do? You wait until you're older? Well, that's one option. That's a good answer. But how do you grow? What do you do? You eat veggies. Exactly. You eat food. That's right. Your parents have taught you well. You eat food. That's how you grow. Now, there's some other things you do as well, but you eat food, and it's the same spiritually. You eat. Have a look there at verse 2. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. Another question for the kids. What do babies eat or drink? Milk. They drink milk, okay? And actually, it doesn't take too long to move on from milk to solid food. 6 months or so is when people start eating solid food, and then the poos get really stinky, and you got to watch out for that. But you don't last on milk for very long. Paul is saying, you guys are still just drinking milk. You're babies. You can't even hack solid food. And so kids, actually on page 4, I want you to draw a picture of milk and solid food. Maybe a carton of milk or something. Then whatever food you want, you can choose. Player's choice. But as we keep listening, there's actually a danger here where we can just jump straight into going, what is the milk? What is the solid food? Is the milk like the gospel? And then we move on to, you know, deeper stuff like predestination and the Trinity and like all these kind of deep things. Is that what this is getting at? We can just jump straight there, and we will ask those questions in a second. But if we just jump straight there, we might miss what Paul is, like the big point that he's actually saying. You see, by talking about milk and solid food, what Paul is actually particularly saying is there are kind of different kinds of Christians. You've got baby Christians and you've got mature Christians. A mature Christian is someone who can have solid spiritual food. And what they do is they understand that the cross saves them, and then it actually shapes the rest of their life. As they grow, it's still all about the cross. The Corinthians, however, they're just babies. And they think, sweet, the cross has saved me, and now I'm going to move on to solid food, other different, deeper spiritual things, right? They're like, oh, we're going to move over to this kind of things. Things that seem impressive, like speaking in tongues and all these other kind of cool things that look impressive, and we're coming over here. I don't know why I'm doing all that. But they think that they're going to move on to this different kind of spiritual food. And Paul's going, you're going the wrong way. They have worldly thinking about spiritual things. They think speaking in tongues, because Paul talks about this later in the letter, which is why I'm saying that. They think that speaking in tongues is super spiritual. And Paul goes, no. That's not the super spiritual stuff. That's worldly thinking. You want to know what's super spiritual? And he says this in 1 Corinthians 13. He says, love. Loving others. That's super impressive by God's standards, not by the world's standards. That's what's super spiritual. And why is love impressive to God? Well, it's because the cross is all about love, isn't it? Yeah. Thanks, guys. God loves us so much that Jesus would die on the cross to save us. That is love. That is love. And so obviously he cares about love. It doesn't look very impressive, but it's the wisdom and the power of God. The Corinthians, they're trying to move on from the cross. They were asking for some other kind of spiritual food, solid food. And Paul's saying, if you think you need to move on from the cross to anything else other than the gospel, you're clearly still just a baby. A grown-up Christian knows that it's always about the cross. It starts with the cross. And then your whole life is about the cross. The gospel, it's our milk, and then the gospel is our solid food. And only people who get that and who have the cross shaping their life, they're the ones who are grown up. And can I say, we've actually got a whole bunch of even preschoolers who aren't in here today. We've got a whole bunch of grown-up preschoolers who get that the cross is everything. It's wonderful to see. Kids, on page 5, I want you to draw a picture of the cross and put whatever kind of food you want on it. Pizza, burgers, fish and chips, I don't know, broccoli. Get your veggies in there. Because the cross is all kind of spiritual food. That's awesome. You see, the Corinthians, they thought they were wise. They thought they were mature, strong. But they were ashamed of the cross. That's a major problem. Because think about it. I'm saying that to grow up in Jesus, right? We're growing up in Jesus, we become more like Jesus. What did Jesus do? He suffered and he died. That's what he did. And so to become like Jesus isn't to move on to all these awesome, cool, impressive things. It's to be like Jesus who suffered and died for us. And so actually what we need to do is as we grow up in Jesus, we always keep looking back. We keep looking back at the cross And that helps us to know what we're meant to be like. We're meant to be like our Savior, who loved us so much that he died for us. The way of the cross, it's humiliation. It looks foolish. It looks ridiculous. If you go the way of the cross and you're at school, you're going to look really silly. You're going to look stupid to your friends at school. You'll look like a fool at work in front of your footy mates. Do you want more of that kind of food? Do you want to keep growing up in Jesus? It's not promised to be a super fun way. There are good things about it, but it's not promised to be super. It's actually promised to be hard, and it will be hard, particularly for the younger people amongst us. It's going to be hard. But here's the deal. We don't just look back at the cross. We also look forward. Because kids, what happened after Jesus died? Shout it out. How good is that, right? Took about 3 seconds and then heaps of kids go, Jesus rose again. How good is that we've got kids who know that Jesus rose from the dead? This is awesome, right? And he did. He rose again 3 days later. And he promises us that if we grow up in Jesus, if we keep holding on to him until the end, we will be raised as well. We will get to join him in heaven, in glory. We will be raised to life to live forever with our Lord. We might get beaten and battered along the way. We might get teased and made fun of and laughed at. We might lose friends over it. But we will be raised to life to live with Jesus forever. In a kingdom that is unshakable, that no one can take away. With the glorious King, who a bunch of the kids have been learning is the forever King. We're going to be there with him. We'll get new bodies. How good is that? Some of you are going, yeah, that's real good. It's amazing. And so, kids, on page 6, I want you to try to capture this. I want you to draw a picture of someone who's looking both backwards at the cross and forwards at the resurrection. Now, how do you capture that in art? Well, I've done it for you. Picture like this, ready? You'll see it soon. A picture where someone looks back at the cross and forwards at the resurrection simultaneously. We might get it later. Technical difficulties. That's okay. So I want you to draw the cross on one side. I want you to maybe draw the empty grave on one side. And someone who has little dots going from their eyes both ways. That's what I did anyway. But try to draw a picture of that. But as we grow, that's what we need to do. We need to look back at the cross, and that helps us to know what we need to be like. And we look forward at the resurrection, and that helps us know what we will be like. And that'll help us to be the way that we need to be as we grow. And an interesting fact, Paul starts off 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 talking about the cross and what that means. And then he finishes off 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 talking about the resurrection and what that means. For Paul, it's all about looking back and looking forward. Now, where are you struggling to look back and look forward? Perhaps you're getting comfortable in your Christian life. You're coming to church, you hit up growth group or G-teams or EV kids. You might even serve in ministry somewhere. But being a Christian is just something that fits into your life. It might take up a bunch of time, but it doesn't really put you out. You still live the life that you just want to live. You don't have people having a go at you because you tried evangelizing them. You're not so bold about Jesus that you're losing friends over it. That you're being humiliated for it. If that's you, you need to focus on looking back, looking at the cross. Hey, there you go. Just like that. You need to look back at the cross. It's hard and painful. It's not cruisy and comfortable. And actually, I think if the Corinthians lived on the coast now, that's the way they would be. They would be cruisy and comfortable. I think that's worldliness on the coast, isn't it? Now, I'm preaching this to myself right now. This is something that I need to hear. When things are hard, I need to keep looking back and remembering, no, I'm going to keep growing in Jesus. I want to follow him even when that's uncomfortable. Is that you? You need to focus more on the cross. Or perhaps you've been too caught up with the here and now. You've forgotten there's a life to come. Work or school or family, friends. There are really important things that you focus on. Good things, but good things that make you live as if this is all there is. The kids are playing soccer on a Sunday and you don't even really think about it. You just go, oh, cool, we'll miss church for that. There's a family birthday party planned on an evening of growth group. How do you process what to do there? Do you even think about it? There's a TV show that you want to watch. And the time to watch that is the time that you might have used to read the Bible. There are lots of things going on. We can easily become so busy in this world that we forget that there's a world to come. We forget to live for that world. But like Simon, I thought he put it brilliantly in that video. He said, we need to keep what's important, important in life. We need to keep God as a priority for us and our families. This is a real challenge. And to help you do this, you need to look forward. Focus on heaven. Focus on glory. Focus on what's coming. If you're a Christian, you'll be raised with Jesus. Eternal life is coming. So live for that day. Don't live for the here and now. That's going to be so much better. And so can I set you a challenge as you think about looking back, looking forward? I want to set you guys a challenge to memorize two verses. Right? It's only two verses. I want you to learn two Bible verses. And kids, on page 7, I want you to write down two things. Actually, I want all the youth peeps to write this down as well. I want all the adults to write this down as well. Pull out your phone, pull out some paper. I don't care. Find something you can write this down. Two verses. The first one is Romans 5 verse 8. Now, you can just write the short version. Romans 5:8, which says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's a wonderful verse about the cross. And I want you to memorize it this week. I want you to learn it. And I want you to reflect on it. It'll help you to grow up to be more like Jesus. You're going to think about his love for you, that he died for you. That's what the verse says. And as you reflect on that, rather than being jealous of others, rather than quarreling like the Corinthians, it'll help you to love God, to love others, just like he did for you. The second verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. And that one says, by his power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and he will raise us also. That helps us to look forward. It reminds us that we're going to be raised one day. There's another life to come, and we're going to be part of it. How good is it that we're going to be there together? It's going to be amazing. It'll help you to look forward and grow up to be more like Jesus, because Jesus, he looked forward. How do you think he was able to go through dying on the cross? Well, he had the joy that was set before him. He knew that glory was coming. He knew he was going to be raised again. And so he could go through that for us. He kept what was important, important. Learning that verse will help you do that. Why don't you guys, why don't you learn as a family? Kids, you can keep your parents accountable on that one. Let's learn. How cool would it be if everyone here was reflecting deeply on these two scriptures together this week? And even if you can't memorize it, I understand. Memory is a funny thing. It's just two verses though. But whether you memorize it or not, let's work hard to look back and look forward. Don't be a baby Christian. Grow up in Jesus. And can I say, kids, you don't have to wait until you're a grown up to grow up in Jesus. You can grow up in Jesus right now. And I'm seeing some of you growing up in him right now. Keep growing up in him. Help adults to grow up in him. We need to help each other all together. I'm going to pray that that would happen. Father God, thank you so much that you sent Jesus to die on the cross. Thank you that he rose again and that we can have forgiveness. that we can have a life to come. And I pray that you would help every single person to be trusting in Jesus, to be growing up in him. I pray that we would be a church full of mature Christians. And I pray that you would help us to keep helping each other grow. And I pray that as other people see us, we would be so much like Jesus that they want to know who Jesus is and trust in him as well. In his name we pray. Amen.